Again, the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ provides no guarantee that your heart and your life is spiritual, that it's spirit-led. In fact, everybody struggles with the flesh against the spirit. All of us struggle with the carnal life or the spiritual life. Even those of us in ministry and full-time trying to train and encourage and equip others and lead them into a spirit-led life often find ourselves plagued with carnality and fleshly thoughts and appetites and attitudes, fleshly perspectives and self-centeredness. How often we are quick to show the condition of our heart by the outflowing of our tongue, what we say. And the internet gives us a whole new forum to publish our carnality permanently for others to see. I hope you're not caught in that trap, how easy it is, even in the ministry, to live a carnal life. Today, we're going to kind of hit the reset button. Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. Today's lesson is simply entitled, The Four Attributes of a Spiritual Christian. And it's sort of back to basics today. If you're in the ministry, we're going to examine what a Christ-honoring servant leader is all about. Living the Christian life authentically, living the Spirit-led life. And when a servant of Christ is living that Spirit-led life, what are the attributes that dominate his life? We're in store for a great lesson. I know it will encourage you and convict you. It originated as a staff meeting here with our staff at Lancaster Baptist Church. I know it will be a help to you. Pastor Chappell, why don't you give us a word of introduction?
One of the great joys of my life is serving with the ministry team here at Lancaster Baptist Church and Lancaster Baptist School and West Coast Baptist College. And I enjoy a time with them normally every Friday afternoon as we gather for our weekly all-staff meeting. Sometimes the meeting is brief and mostly prayer requests and a few announcements, but I try a few times a month to share my heart and some biblical principles about serving in ministry. And today's lesson, Four Attitudes of a Spiritual Christian, is really just a time of mentoring and sharing that we've had with our staff recently, and we trust that it will be an encouragement to your spirit and to your heart as you continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
What are some of the things that work to destroy a good attitude or spirit in a Christian?
You know, spirit is so important in a staff. We've all heard the saying, everything rises and falls on leadership, and we've also heard the saying that attitude determines altitude. Well, when you have a leader whose attitude and spirit is not right, it affects the entire organization. And in the ministry of the local church, even someone that is in a support role with a wrong spirit can affect the morale of the entire ministry. Some of the things that destroy a good spirit are jealousy, pettiness, and of course, at the root of all of it is pride. And whenever you have someone who feels that they deserve more or feels that someone else got something they didn't deserve, and they allow that to fester in their heart, soon it becomes a real problem in the ministry. And so it's our prayer today that we can learn how to walk in the Spirit and avoid the wrong attitude that can creep into ministry.
When we are unspiritual leaders, talk about the impact that that has on the whole ministry and the church family.
One thing that many staff members fail to recognize is their sphere of influence. Every person that is on a church staff is viewed upon by the church family as a part of the pastor's team. And in fact, the church family enjoy interacting and serving with the staff, and that's the way that it should be. But when a staff member has even a negative look on the platform or is late to certain events or non-participating in events such as outreach or special meetings of the church, those characteristics begin to multiply. I've often said that the church family will many times rise to the example of the lowest staff member's involvement or spirit. And that's why there's really no tolerance for a staff member whose spirit is negative or whose attitude is hurtful towards the local body. It's vital that the staff walk in the Spirit, resolve problems, forgive, and constantly work at keeping the ministry a wholesome, vibrant place of growth.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Again, this is a staff meeting that Pastor Chappell taught to our staff here at Lancaster Baptist Church. It's entitled Four Attributes of a Spiritual Christian. If you'd like the outline to this leadership podcast, visit paulchappell.com, click on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast, and simply send us your email. Every time we post this podcast, we'll send you the outline as well. And if you haven't checked it out, be sure to see our new ministry website, ministry127.com. We'll talk about it more after today's lesson. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell, Four Attributes of a Spiritual Christian.
1 Thessalonians 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. The Bible says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." And let's just pray that God will bless this. Father, thank you for the many appointments today and the time of study and the time to go soul winning. Thank you for the time to teach and the time to pray and the time to organize. And here's a time to be edified. So speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you today on this subject, and I didn't put the notes together because I'm trying not to be too long today. I'd like to just speak to you on the subject of attitude. Attitude, the attitude of the Christian servant is what I've entitled this brief outline. Attitude is so important for many reasons. First of all, by way of introduction, attitude is a reflection of someone's walk with God, because the fruit of the Spirit reflects a certain attitude: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And one of the reasons that we want our attitude to be right is because we want it to be a reflection of the Lord's working in our heart. We want our attitude to always be right. And you can tell where someone is spiritually when they're having tough times and still having a good attitude. And how many of you would say, I don't have much problem with an attitude when I don't have a headache, when I don't have financial problems, when I don't have anybody bugging me? I always have a good attitude then. How many of you like me, that's easy to have a good attitude then? But when you come in and this happens and this happens and this happens, therein lies the test, doesn't it? And if you're like me, sometimes you have to get alone with God for a few minutes, have a little attitude adjustment, and then get back to it. So attitude, so very, very important. I told Danielle years ago when she was thinking about dating, I said, there's a lot of things I guess I could say to you, honey, about this thing of dating, but there's two things I want you to look for in your relationships. Number one, look for someone with a pure heart, someone that has a heart for God, and look for someone, number two, that has a good attitude. Because if someone has a good attitude, you can pretty much take care of the rest of those things. And then we met Peter and had to rewrite the whole rule book, Peter. But no, I'm just kidding. And Peter has a good attitude. And the men in this room do. And it's something we want to work on all the time, is having the right type of an attitude. And I don't know about you, but I find that having the right attitude, it's not automatic. It's not something that just every day, it's just a guaranteed thing. And how many of you would say that we all get a blessing from people who have a good attitude? I can't help but think about Brother Sisk when I talk about attitude, because just, hey, how you doing, Doc? You know, that's kind of how Brother Sisk is, or a Brother Gibbs, and some of these types of people that we could think about. Sometimes you might think, well, they must not have burdens. I guarantee they have them, okay? But they've kept that right attitude. So let's just talk about four attitudes today, and right here from the text. First of all, as we look ahead to the month of November, I think about the attitude of rejoicing. The attitude of rejoicing. And the Bible says here, rejoice evermore. And I want to challenge you to be the kind of person that looks for something good in situations. Someone said, look for the good and praise it. Someone else said, help people reach their full potential by catching them doing something right. Now, some of us are experts at seeing what's wrong, and I don't know why that is. You know, I'm the type of person, Mrs. Stoner can bring me this, you know, big old document, beautiful layout, great pictures, and I'll open it up. I mean, I open it. Sometimes I hate this in my own self. I'll open it to some page. The first word I see is the typo. Every time.
And here's this beautiful work. And she'll give it to me and I'll go, you know, that word right there is misspelled. And it's not that I'm not rejoicing. It's just I can see things that need to get fixed. I can see this light bulb up here that's burnt out 2 weeks in a row. It, by the way, are you proud of me? It didn't affect my attitude. I'm still having a good attitude today. But some of us just see those things like that. And I think we have to intentionally pray, Spirit of God, fill me today. Help me to rejoice in what you're doing. I think we have to do this intentionally. I was telling the boys in the Preacher Boys class today, you have to be careful. And this was something I had to learn over years. When there's a person or two in the church or in even Sunday school class and they're not being friendly to you or they're fighting something, you have to be careful not to preach to that one situation, because you could have the whole church of 200 people. They love God. They love the pastor. They love what's going on. But your attitude's affected by them. And I refuse to let one sourpuss set my agenda. See what I'm saying? I can't let that. But human nature is sometimes you want to go to the typo. You want to go to the problem. You want to see only what's wrong. So the attitude of rejoicing says, today, I'm going to rejoice in this day because this is the day the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice in it, okay? And that's the right attitude towards things, is just to say, I want to have an attitude of rejoicing about what God has done for me. And folks, that ought to be common in our lives, just an attitude of rejoicing. And it's closely linked to Thanksgiving, but it's slightly different, because you can be technically thankful but still not in your attitude rejoicing. So we want to have, I don't know about you, I want to come into church on Sunday morning rejoicing. I don't want to be, you say, well, I got one key on the piano that doesn't work. Well, thank God for the other 57 that work. Say, well, I got this, and Brother Schmidt, I think about technical things. And those can get us, you can't hear yourself right, or this or that. And it's hard for me. That's one of the hardest things for a pastor. But still, even then, I have to say, Lord, help me to rejoice in the truth of your word. Help me to keep going. And teachers sometimes can have one student, Brother Kaz, just one, maybe two or three sometimes, and they can rob the joy. But listen, what I'm trying to say is when we're walking in the Spirit, there should be nothing or no one that robs the joy. Oh, there may be a bump in the road, but you know, when you get right back down to it, we have a lot to rejoice about. So the Bible teaches us in everything we're to rejoice. Rejoice evermore. And I think that's especially important because I have found that that people will reflect the leadership around them. And we want to have, if you want to have a rejoicing class, you're going to have to be a rejoicer. I think of so many of our teachers, and I always hate to mention one name, but I think of Mrs. Harris right now because she's a sweet teacher. And you know what she has? What kind of classes? Do you know what kind of classes she has? Sweet classes. See, if you're ever having a situation where you say, well, I'll tell you, my class, just a bunch of rebels, and all they do is talk and this and that. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, I didn't ask about your problem with classroom control, but now that you've shared with me about it. See, it's not always the student's fault. They're going to reflect us. So we want to have a rejoicing spirit so that they have a rejoicing spirit in ministry. The attitude of rejoicing. Next, the attitude of prayer. Prayer. Notice this. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, here is an attitude that I believe is more than just an attitude, really. We're talking about attitudes, but it's really an action, isn't it? Sometimes we say, be in an attitude of prayer. What exactly does that mean? I'm walking around with my eyes closed. I'm in an attitude of prayer. Is that what that means? I'm being really quiet. Is that what that means? I think we need to literally pray. Oftentimes, you can walk into a meeting and you can say, just pray, Lord, I need wisdom now. I've been counseling all afternoon. I begin, as Dr. Gibbs taught yesterday at the seminar, every counseling in prayer. I concluded in prayer. I like what he said, have a Bible on the desk. That was good, wasn't it, Brother First? I mean, we're there to give Bible counseling, you know. So the attitude of prayer. And so many things could be avoided. See, when you're in the flesh, you're not rejoicing. You're ticked off! And when you're in the flesh, you're definitely not praying. And yet when you're in the Spirit, there's joy and there's prayer because you're talking to the Lord. You're seeking His will. And we want to have the attitude of rejoicing. We want to have the attitude of prayer. Thirdly, we want to have the attitude this month of thankfulness. Thankfulness. Now, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 that there in the end times there will be a spirit of unthankfulness. But verse 18 here says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Now, again, I think people need to see it in us and they need to hear it from us. They say, man, I'm thankful we have a school that even has a football field. See, we forget that, Brother Schmidt. We had asphalt when we started our school. But instead, people will complain about the parts where the grass didn't grow. If we're not careful. I'm not saying anybody's doing, I'm just illustrating. Instead of being thankful for the grass, someone will say there's mud there, you know. Instead of being thankful for the cheerleaders, they'll say, well, why wasn't my kid a cheerleader? You know, instead of being thankful for the fact that we're on staff together, well, why didn't I get to do that? And all of a sudden, it affects the joy. The lack of gratitude affects the joy. So this thing of giving thanks in everything, there's always something to give thanks for. And we have to just say, Lord, help me to have always the attitude of thanksgiving. Now, how many of you agree with me? When you're right with God and just really making a list out, you got a lot more to be thankful for in this life. We really do. The attitude of thanksgiving. And what we have to do as leaders is we have to get ahead on the learning curve of that because we're going into November, we're having our Thanksgiving offering. We can't wake up Thanksgiving morning and go, oh man, I better be thankful. We've got to start leading our class into it. Hey, make a list of what you're thankful for. Let's sing Count Your Many Blessings. Hey, let's write thank you notes to our parents. Let's write thank you notes to the home pastor. And let's get people thinking about being thankful and let's ourselves be thankful and spread that spirit. The attitude of thankfulness, it goes a long way. It goes a long, long way. It's little things like sometimes to go preach somewhere like this week, I preached for Brother Ouellette. That is a brutal thing. And it's just brutal getting there. But when someone comes up to you and gives you a thank you note or someone says thank you or someone says, our ministry was changed. I was reading my mail today about from different pastors that were helped recently through our ministry. And even one still from Leadership Conference wrote me a letter today. And he said, I just want to thank you for a lesson I heard at the Leadership Conference. And you know what? Thanks encourages everybody. You know, and having that attitude of thankfulness. Don't let the devil rob you of that spirit of thanksgiving. Have a tender heart. I've been talking with some of our teenagers lately, and Brother Schmidt has too, about a tender heart. You know, staff, when something's brought to your attention that could have been done differently or that you did wrong, you ought to have this spirit of immediately saying, boy, you're right. I told a teenager recently, I said, if there's 10 people in the room, if there's 10 teenagers, and 7 of them were really talking and 3 of them were just sort of talking, and the teacher talks to one of the 3 that was just sort of talking, the right response of one of those 3 would be, I was talking, I shouldn't have been talking. Immediately to say what they did wrong. Okay? Or you'll talk to a teenager that's texting in church and they'll say, well, I just don't know. She's just mean. Okay? Or you'll talk to a staff member who didn't get their grades in on time or cut class early. Well, yeah, but you don't know. Oh, wait a minute. We better be careful because our children are going to reflect our attitude. Our children are going to reflect our attitude. So if we're down like, hey, why is he getting to do that? Or if we're moping because someone got to sing the solo or whatever, or if we have that value system, it's going to come down into our children oftentimes. So that's why a teenager needs to quickly repent. If something goes wrong on your watch, I'm rabbit trailing right now just a little bit, but it'll come back to the right attitude. If something goes wrong on your watch, don't give a 3-page note about how everybody else was wrong. All you need to say is, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Let's all say that together. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Well, but don't say, but he and she and they and no. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Okay, and that's the right attitude. That's what we're talking about today. Attitude, Attitude determines altitude. Okay? And in this matter of thanksgiving, it is an issue of the heart that we would be thankful to the Lord. So a lot of this interrelates together. And then the attitude of rejoicing, the attitude of prayer, the attitude of thanksgiving. Let me give you one more. The attitude of expectancy. The attitude for expectancy. And you say, well, where do you get that from? Two things here. Verse 19, quench not the spirit, but notice this, despise not prophesyings. Despise not prophesyings. I like what Brother Christensen said a minute ago. Pray for pastor's message this Sunday. Now that, I need the prayer, number one. And that creates an attitude of expectancy. And there ought to be an attitude of expectancy. No staff member should have the attitude of, well, let's see if he can get me motivated this time. No staff member should have, well, let me take some notes here so someday I'll have something to say. No, the attitude ought to be, I need this one. I'm expecting God to work in my heart right here today. Have an attitude of expectancy. If I'm in the soul winning meeting and Brother Furso's speaking in there, I want to get something for me. See, I need something from God's word as a soul winner. I want to have an attitude of expectancy. If May Lynn stands up singing a solo, I want to have an attitude. I'm going to get something out of this. It's going to help me spiritually right now. Despise not prophesying. And I really believe that in our attitude towards the work of the Lord, it ought to be, I'm expecting God to do something great. Now, I know that might sound like positive thinking. Years ago, Oral Roberts had a little phrase. Brother Matt, he was a Fundamental Baptist pastor out in Oklahoma. Might have been before your time. But Oral Roberts had this phrase. And I know it was, he's charismatic. But the phrase, do any of you remember what it was? What was it? Was it something good or was it expect a miracle? That was one too, something good. The other one was, let's all speak in tongues. He had several of them. But I think something good is going to happen to you was one of the TV ones. And I think one of them was expect a miracle, or that might have been someone else. And not in a hype sense, like something good is going to happen to you. But I think that this thing of expectancy is real. I was thinking today about a little campaign. I don't know if we'll use it, Brother Schmidt. I was thinking about the word imagine. Maybe for our building program sometime. Imagine, and the I towards the end being italicized or a different color or letter to emphasize me imagining myself being used of God. Hey, if you get to the place where like, well, all I do here is just, you know, type, or all I do is counsel wayward teens, or all I do is train soul winners, your attitude's not right. Or he does so much and I do so little. You're your own worst enemy. You're going to get yourself depressed, and soon God's going to call you somewhere. Hello? Your attitude can become your own worst enemy. Now here's what you need to do. Imagine. Imagine more souls being saved. Imagine more people on the mission field. Imagine God using you to touch someone's life. Imagine you married. Daniel, that was for you, brother. Amen. Just hang in there. All right? Imagine, I'm just trying to say, you don't know what God's going to do, but your attitude's going to affect it. I guarantee it every single time. We have to have the right attitude. I was talking to Brother Hobbs yesterday, and I guess about 10 years ago this month, I went through a difficult season in the ministry. Difficult. And, I could not sleep. At times, the devil said things to me that were accusing. Basically, you're a flop of a pastor. And sometimes, you know, it seemed like at those times, sometimes instead of maybe ones coming up and say, hey, love you or hanging with you, the jury was out. You know, we didn't know where people stood. Difficult time. And it was during that time that I had the hardest time to have the right attitude every time. I didn't want to have an attitude against people, and I didn't want to have an attitude of hate or bitterness. So I had to really say, Lord, I need to be spirit controlled. I want to have the right attitude. I want to have the right attitude. And I was just thinking about it this week a little bit, Brother Furso, because those are difficult times. Control our attitude. And you've had it. People leave your class and stuff. It hurts if you're in the ministry. And we all go through these things where our attitude can be checked. Sometimes I use the illustration of why did so-and-so sing or preach, or because I know how the ego and the human flesh can be. And I remember distinctly my attitude. I had difficulty keeping a good, positive attitude because I sometimes felt like, you know, this is as far as it's gone, and it was a good ride. There was no imagine with a little curvy eye in it because my imagining was just not there like it was supposed to be. It was just hard to imagine tomorrow when you couldn't be sure if you could breathe today. You know, amazing thing? Somehow the Holy Spirit just helped my spirit and helped my attitude. And I just kept preaching and preaching and praying and going. And last Sunday, 10 years later to the day when I wrote some things in my journal, we had 2,000 more people in church than 10 years ago. I'm glad God helped me have a good attitude. Say, well, you could be over right now in Korea doing something. You know what? I know I'm where God wants me. But when your attitude gets down, you get depressed, you're not rejoicing, you're not praying, you're not thankful, you're not expecting. And all of a sudden, you're dreaming outside of the will of God, and all of a sudden, poor me, and all of a sudden, the devil's getting you right where he wants you. He's got his heel on your throat because he wants you discouraged. But if you can keep the right attitude, Brother Schoenberg, and just keep going a day at a time, you look back and you go, you know what? God used me. God, I think of Brother Schoenberg. No one else even thought of this. I didn't. But Brother Schoenberg painted that football field out there, and it's beautiful. Brother Don, no one in this room probably knows you did it. Had I not mentioned it, no one would know that. But for those kids tonight, that's big time. And I mean, you're contributing to their lives. And I refuse to let the devil tell you that you don't do much. Because everybody here is doing a great work for God. And I think that's what Dr. Siss talked about when he talked about being knit together and having synergy together. Because when you get that wrong attitude, you begin to think, I don't need this stuff. I can go out and do something great on my own. And then reality sets in. We always want to keep the right attitude. Amen, Brother Butterfield? Amen. Now, the opposite, when your attitude's not right, let me tell you what you don't do. Here it is. You don't rejoice. How many bad attitude people do you know who are rejoicing? No? Tell you something else you don't do. You don't pray. Because you're too busy worshiping the God of yourself. Tell you something else. You're not thankful. Inevitably, I'll watch a staff member whose attitude's not right. You'll give them a little bonus or a little time off or a raise. You never get a thank you note. You know why? Because in their opinion, they deserve more. And you know what? You don't ever want to give somebody more who's not thankful for what you're trying to do. Look it. You got a kid that won't wash the dishes, that yells and screams at how terrible the food is, who has a bad attitude at home, who won't do anything mom says. You're going to say, oh, hey, here's a brand new pair of tennis shoes for you. I'm not going to give him tennis shoes, and I'm not going to let his grandparents give him tennis shoes. You know why? I'm not going to reward an insolent attitude. If your attitude's not right, you don't rejoice, you don't pray. Thirdly, you're not thankful. Fourthly, you don't expect anything good. You're just, the sky is falling. You're Mr. Eeyore Baptist. Oh my, oh my. And all of a sudden, you're not being blessed. So, the attitude of the staff member, and I don't think anyone here is having a bad attitude, but I just share this with you, that I would say that the attitude is something that intentionally we need to work on that all the time. And don't let the devil play games on your psyche with things like, well, I'm just not as important, or, well, you know, I was overlooked, or, you know what, there's all kinds of seasons of life, and just be glad to be a part of the family of God. And have the right attitude. And I think one of the things, and I'll close with this, one of the things that hurts more Christians than anything else is when they are perceiving and expecting something that God never said was a guarantee. When you get in your heart that you deserve or expect something and then it didn't happen that way, you set yourself up. You see that in marriage counseling a lot for the first zone. Someone thought their wife would be this or their husband that. And it wasn't exactly that way. So they grow bitter, you know. And you see that sometimes in secular situations where people didn't get the promotion they thought they deserved. They get, I mean, I have to counsel with them on that. And I've dealt with a situation not in the too distant past of folks that thought maybe the staff should have done some things and thought maybe, you know, they should have had this or that. They never asked. They never, you know, even biblically, if someone wants a hospital visit, they should ask for a hospital visit. We try to anticipate those things, and I think we have the most serving staff and deacons I've ever seen. But if someone expects something in their heart and doesn't, you know, you don't know that, but they're expecting it, they're setting themselves up for discouragement every time. See? And so we have to always guard ourselves. What we ought to expect, Brother Beeson, is that we get air to breathe today, you know, and we get to go to heaven someday. And, you know, and because the foundation of gratitude is the expectation of what?
Nothing.
I was talking with a couple men in this room the other day, and one of them pulled me aside and said, Pastor, I just want you to know something. If all I ever do is what I do here, please don't ever think I have to lead in prayer or sit somewhere or do something. He says, I just am glad to be a part of it. You know what? That's a good attitude. That's a good attitude. He says, don't feel pressure from me about like having to preach or having to go on a missions trip, or he named four. He said, that's not what it's about. I'm just here to serve. And with that attitude, you're going to have less disappointment and less discouragement in your life. And so I want all of us to just take time today, just kind of fine tune that, because, and I'm being honest with you, there's days when I have to work on mine, and I just have to pull aside and say, you know what, if I'm not careful, I'm going to get myself discouraged here. How many of you are your own worst enemy sometimes? Anybody else like that? And it just, we're all that way, and we can worry more about how we're perceived than we should. I think there's a word for that, self-worry about how you're perceived. What would that word be, Dr. R? Miss Davis? Oh, pride, that was the word, yeah, pride. And sometimes we can get that way. And you know what? If we'll humble ourselves and serve God, He will do what? There you go. He can take care of the rest of that. So, and let's just pray that God will use us. And I do think of the young people, and I think of the school students and the college students. They're going to reflect that in us, and hopefully they'll reflect the Lord in them, but they're going to be a product of that environment. I have seen some ministries, Daniel, where there's just a lot of competitiveness, and the guy with the biggest this and that, he's the big guy, you know. And I was talking with a pastor the other day from an environment where you were only really successful if you were a pastor, but not just a pastor, with a big church. That was the big thing. And he was telling me, he said, I'm thinking maybe just being like a church planter, he said. Just plant a little church and get it going, then plant another one and doing that. And he said, stay in maybe 5 years and then another 5 years. And I said, well, you're from an environment where you have to only pastor a big church and preach a lot of places, because that's the only way you can be successful. I said, so you make sure that that's what God wants you, and that you can be content with that, you know, because otherwise it'll affect your spirit and your attitude. And it's a joy to serve Jesus, what I'm saying. It's just a joy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And anywhere that God will use us, let's be faithful and let's serve Him with the right attitude. And I appreciate that so very much in this staff. And I mean that. I can honestly say I'm not trying to help someone get their attitude changed. In fact, if I was, it'd be more one-on-one than in this. So this I consider preventive today, that we would walk out of here and say, you know what? It's great to serve Jesus Christ. And, you know, when I go out on the football field tonight and out for there, well, just be the ones that have the joy, the ones that have the thanksgiving, the ones that expect to win. Hey, you know what? Now let me just say this, and I'm going to really close this time. Our people, they're coming in from commuting, cursing all day, discouragement, the devil fighting them. They need a staff that has good attitude, and they need us to be a blessing to them.
Well, you've been listening to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast and Dr. Paul Chappell teaching our staff at Lancaster Baptist Church 4 Attitudes of a Spiritual Christian. I hope this lesson has challenged and encouraged you the way it did our staff. An attitude of rejoicing, an attitude of prayer, an attitude of thanks, and an attitude of expectancy. Before we wrap up our lesson with a few questions, I want to tell you to visit and encourage you to visit strivingtogether.com. We have some new things I'm excited to tell you about. First of all, we've been talking about Dr. Mark Rasmussen's new curriculum, Salt and Light, now available. If you haven't seen it yet, be sure to take time to look at it on the website, order a sample copy. Also, we have a special selection of titles that are 50% off now for a limited time. When you visit the website, click on that graphic. You'll see the titles that are 50% off. These are some great gift ideas, especially as we head into graduation season, Mother's Day, and some other opportunities to provide gifts for our church family. Finally, during the month of April, all of our print materials, our custom designed tracts, our pre-printed tracts, our church bulletins and brochures, they're all 15% off. I encourage you to take a look at this section on our website. First of all, our tracts are offered now in different formats, three particular. First of all, there's the tracts that have primarily the church information with the gospel on the back. Secondly, we've reversed that. So the gospel and invitation and presentation is longer on the inside with a church mention on the back of the tract. And then finally, we've begun pre-printing and pre-packaging tracts. If you'd rather not order the quantity necessary to do a custom design, be sure to look at the pre-printed tracts. The backs are blank. You can put your church stamp or sticker on the backs of these tracts. They're affordable and they're effective. Also, brand new bulletin designs are on the site. And then coming into the summer, we have some vacation brochures that will encourage your church family to remember to tithe and be faithful in stewardship during the summer months. For many years, we've used those as bulletin inserts for our church family. I believe it will help you through the summer months. Finally, we're excited about Dr. Tom Farrell's new book, Preaching That Pleases God. As I record this, we are going to press with this book. It's a couple hundred page, beautiful hardback book that will challenge you in the art and the importance of expository preaching. I read this book. It challenged me. I know whether you are a pastor with many years of experience or whether you're a young man preparing for the ministry, this book, Preaching That Pleases God, will be one that will ignite your heart for the power and the passion of biblical preaching. Preaching That Pleases God from Dr. Tom Farrell. We will have it in stock in about the middle of May. We're looking forward to it very much. There's more on the website, strivingtogether.com. Also, we've launched a brand new ministry resource website. It's completely free. It's entitled ministry127.com, encouraging, equipping, engaging ideas from local church leaders. It is filled with resources, sermon helps, illustrations, videos, PowerPoint slides, sermon outlines and series, MP3 files, a sermon archive, and articles in 18 different categories of ministry, completely free, constantly flowing in with new materials. Be sure to visit ministry127.com, based on Philippians 1:27. Pastor will talk about that more in just a minute. Well, Pastor Chappell, how has an attitude of expectancy, the attitude you spoke of, how does that make a difference in our local church?
An attitude of expectancy really begins with the pastor. And people can tell if the pastor is excited about the new year, a new preaching series, a new building program, if he's excited about the upcoming special day, Resurrection Sunday, Christmas Sunday, then the church family will take their cue from the spirit of the leader. As a church grows, it's vital that the pastor shares that vision, that excitement, and that expectancy with the staff and lay leaders of the church. And it is amazing to see that spirit multiply. It's amazing to see God bless it. And that's why pastors need to be constantly sharing what they're excited about in the near future so that the church family senses great things are just ahead.
Personally, what do you do to adjust your attitude during difficult times?
Every leader needs attitude adjustments, and every leader needs to learn how to best adjust his attitude or spirit during difficult times. And when those times are rolling in like a set of storms off the Pacific Ocean, sometimes it's hard to adjust quickly enough. And you're expected to be on the top side and always giving the good example before the church family. And that's why one of the best things, if you're in a season of storms, may be to take a little time away and really get perspective through prayer, through Bible reading, and fellowship with your wife or perhaps some close friend. And so I really believe that attitude adjustments come from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and godly fellowship. And whether those are in microbites at home or at the office, or whether for a few days away, you've got to do what's necessary to keep your spirit right for the ministry.
And then finally, take a moment, tell our listeners your heart about Ministry 127 and also the upcoming Spiritual Leadership Conference.
As we close today, I want to share my excitement about two very important resources for every serious Bible-believing Baptist leader and church ministry. First, we're very excited about ministry127.com. Ministry 127 is an online resource for Sunday school teachers, pastors, youth workers, missionaries, church planners. It is a team concept where dozens of contributors are bringing various materials, leadership lessons, and helps for the local church to a site that is devoted to strengthening and encouraging Bible-believing Baptist churches. Now, on this particular site, we have sermon illustrations. Every week, we're adding more and more illustrations. We have, of course, links to podcasts and sermons. We have messages and lessons in printed form that you can download and use for staff meetings, for deacons meetings. Thousands and thousands of pages of material, videos, slides, all types of technical suggestions and helps. You'll find it all at ministry127.com. I have never been as excited about the use of the internet for the local church as I am today. And truly, I believe Ministry 127 is going to be a gathering place for like-minded brethren who want to see the work of God advanced in these last days. A lot of young preachers will go to sites of men who have great technical ideas, and young men will get ideas about tech or service order and things of this nature. And intentionally or unintentionally, sometimes they'll buy into the faulty teachings or doctrine that sometimes comes from those websites. Many of these websites have a fair Bible exposition, but the ministry has no emphasis on sanctification. There's little concern or care for important issues of the preservation of the Scripture or the polity of the New Testament church. And so here is a site, Ministry 127, that features a lot of helps in the realm of tech and sermon prep and ministry ideas, but it's all in the context of loyalty to Bible principles, to our heritage as independent Baptists. And I just want to encourage you to visit ministry127.com. And then don't forget Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 coming up in the month of July, the second Monday through Wednesday. We have some fantastic preaching. We have over 80 sessions and workshops during the two full days of the conference. We are amazed already at the tremendous enrollment for this year's conference. And I want to encourage you right now to visit LancasterBaptist.org and register for this year's leadership conference. It is a spiritual leadership conference for shepherds and for those who serve with them in ministry. And we look forward to welcoming you in the middle of the summer here in the high desert of Southern California.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we've listened today to four attitudes of a spiritual Christian, and I hope this has hit the reset button in your heart and challenged you to let your ministry and your service flow from a genuine life with Christ. I want to invite you to visit us at strivingtogether.com or ministry127.com. You can call us toll-free if you have questions, 1-800-201-7748. Also, be sure to check out the new Ministry 127 podcast. You'll find that on the website as well. And then finally, don't forget to follow Pastor Chappell. You can do so by visiting his blog at paulchappell.com or on Twitter also. You'll find links to that on his blog as well. Thanks for being a part of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. Until next month, may God bless you as you serve and lead his people to impact our world for the gospel of Jesus Christ.